true story, this just is a true story.
Of Scotland, after the rain has been raining, my feet are getting wet, my trainers are soaking, I'm not bothered. See me out in the fields, looking on the ground with my little plastic bag. See what I've found, mushrooms. Little nipple-shaped mushrooms. Lovely Liberty Cap mushrooms. Beautiful Scottish mushrooms. What a great free thing to find. What an unusual thing to do to me mind. Take them back to me house. Spread the newspaper out. Put them out to dry. Make myself a pot of tea. And I don't need any milk and sugar for this particular brew. All I need is boiling water and mushrooms. Mushrooms. Feel my legs are going along. Feel my hands are going strange. Everything is rearranged. Everything is rearranged. Now I'm back out in the fields, laughing at the trees. Turn the volume down on the grass. Oh, that's better. Tripping my tits off, I'm like, oi. I can't tell if I need a piss or if I've already pissed myself. Can't tell if I have pissed myself. Put my hand on the front of my pants, I still can't tell. I don't know if my pants are wet or if it's just a cold day. I'm just not sure anymore. Tripping too hard to know whether or not I've pissed myself. And in the distance I saw a Scottish farmer. I say, mate, I'm not being funny. Could you just touch the front of my pants, please? So I know whether or not I've pissed myself, so I can get on with the rest of my trip, knowing whether or not I have got wet pants. And Scottish farmer, he didn't help me out, man. He weren't helpful at all. He weren't even friendly, even a little bit friendly. I said, just touch me pants, then I know whether or not I've had a piss. And he told me to get off his land. I was like, fuck's sake! This isn't an issue of land ownership. It's just an issue of wet or dry pants. Just do a brother a favour, man. I'm tripping my tits off. All I need to know is whether or not I've pissed myself. I don't need to know who owns the fucking land. And when I thought about it a bit more, I thought, hang on, how can you own land? You can't pick it up and take it anywhere. How can you say you own it? Can you dig it up, put it in your rucksack and take it somewhere else? Can you focus? Stop being mental, you mental Scottish farmer. How can you own land? Only worms and squirrels and shit can own. When you're away, squirrels piss on your land, I bet you. Anyway, he didn't like me at all. He seemed to think I was some sort of upstart. And the next thing I knew, he was shouting at me a bit more and he said, get off my land. I said, oh, I've heard this shit till I'm fucking blue in the face, man, about your land. I said, how come it's your land? And then he explained to me how you acquire land. I didn't know this, but he said, my grandfather fought for this land. I thought, all right, that's how it works. So I said, bring your granddad out here then. I'll find wash me pants to see whether or not I pissed myself. And I wish I'd never said that. It's granddad was massive, hard as fuck, good at fighting, strong Scottish big fella, punching me in the head. Fucking hell, it really hurt, man, but the more it hurt, the more I laughed. Cause when someone's punching you, it's just so funny. The look on the face goes red. They look such a fucking dickhead. When they're punching you, so I just laughed. But the more I laughed, the more he punched me. And the more he punched me, the more I laughed. And the more he punched me, the more upset he got. He had a vein throbbing in his forehead like a massive coke fiend. He was shouting, punching me, sweating. And the next thing I knew, he died of a heart attack. Scottish farmer's granddad, he died of a heart attack. And now I own his land. And now I own his land. And now I own his land. If I could remember where it was. I was tripping off my tits when I owned that land. Now I can't remember where the land was or where it all happened. But do you know what did happen? I did piss myself. So this is a song, imagine it, if animals were racist, in a way to demonstrate how stupid racism itself is as a concept.
Well, it is a bit daft.
It's a bit silly, isn't it, really? It's a bit silly. As I said to two guys from the BNP, I said, ow, ow, not in the face. Racist jungle, the animals are all fucking racist. Some of the worst ones are the lions, and they've got a big problem with the cheetahs. They say, bloody cheetahs, coming over here. Who do they think they are? Oh, with the spotty fur, running faster than we can, taking all our antelopes and nicking our gazelles, the bastards. Oh, the Ardennes. Marry a cheater, I want the Ardennes.
Marry a cheater,
I want the kids to be like. Oh no, that'd be no good, would it? Oh no, they'd be half lion, half cheater, they'd be like giants or leeters, oh no. And in the islands, the Galapagos Islands, that's where you get racist giant tortoises. They wander around, close to the ground, and they've got a big problem with the chaffinches. They say, fucking chaffinches, piss me off, mate! Oh, they're all on housing benefit, there's 15 of them to a nest! Oh, they make me fucking sick! Oh, with the yellow feathers and the pointy beaks adapted for eating seeds! Oh, I'm telling you, they're always shitting on our lettuce! Oh, the yellow feathery bastards! I were having some lettuce last Thursday. I thought it had garlic mayonnaise on it! But no, it was chaffing shite! And I want the Ardennes.
Marry a chaffinch, I want the Ardennes. Marry a chaffinch, I want the Ardennes. Marry a chaffinch, I want the Ardennes. Marry a chaffinch.
The kids be like, half tortoise, half chaffinch. Oh, they'd be fucking mutants. They wouldn't know whether to fly or eat lettuce. Oh no. Oh no, they'd be like tortinches or chaffoises, for fuck's sake. So the tortoises organised a very backward-looking political party, the Tortoise National Party, otherwise known as the TNP. And they had a very, 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 very slow march that nobody took any fucking notice of. The dickheads. I'm telling you, they were dickheads. And in the Arctic, the frozen Arctic, that's where you get white supremacist polar bears. And because they're white, they think they're alright, and they're always picking on the penguins. Only the other day, a group of white supremacist polar bears left a great big burning cross outside Pingoda Penguin's igloo. And his igloo melted into the sea, and you could see him inside on his settee having a wank to penguin Paul. And he had a massive black and white cock, and he come out and he says, what are you fucking picking on me for, you white furry wankers? Is it because I is black and white? Eh? I tell you what. The penguins were getting sick of it. The penguins were getting sick of it. The penguins were getting sick of being picked on by the white supremacist polar bears. Just for the colour of their flippers, which they honestly couldn't help. They were just born that way. And so they got on their mobile phones and they tried to ring their brother cousins, but they'd run out of credit because the tickets were on pay-as-you-go. And they couldn't get a contract because none of them could put their address down properly because they could have been, and right, they were penguins. And so they had to text the killer whales and get them to ring them back. And the killer whales rang them back and said, what's the problem? They said, it's these white supremacist polar bears, mate, picking on us for now. Killer whale said, well, we'd like to help you out, but we live in the fucking sea. What the fuck are we supposed to do about it? Grow legs and kick them up the arse? That's evolution, you knobheads. That takes fucking millennia. We've been Captain Hot Knives. He's been trying to evolve a third arm so we can get that cider since the beginning of his set. We still haven't even got a bump on his shoulder blade. And Penguin said, no, we've had a plan, we've had a plan, we've had a plan, we've had a plan. We've had a plan, we've had a plan, we've had a plan, we've had a plan. We've had a plan, 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 we've had a plan. The killer whale said, just tell us what the fuck is. It's fucking freezing here, it's like the fucking Arctic. Oh yeah. So the penguins told the plan very quickly to the killer whales. They said, 11:30 on Thursday morning, when you get back from signing on New Deal for killer whales, you just wait in the sea next to the ice with some knives and forks and Branston Pickering. And we are going to trick the white supremacist dickhead polar bears into falling into the sea by winding them up. And then you can eat them for your tea. What do you reckon to that? And Killer Whale said, good fucking plan. It will indeed make a change from eating recipes that we've watched Jamie Oliver make on telly. And there's plenty of meat on a polar bear. That sounds like a good plan. So at 29 minutes past 11 on Thursday morning, that's when the penguins put the plan into action, and in the distance they could see a group of white supremacist polar bears who were practicing their Hitler salutes and looking at pictures of Nick Griffin. And to wind them up, they started shouting at them, and this is what they said. They said, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
We've been shagging your Denise. She was in a penguin porno film. She's covered in penguin spunk. And now she's had white and black, she won't be coming back. And the polar bears were angry. They were so angry that the only way I can demonstrate how angry they were is by the use of a facial expression so terrifying that I can only dare use it the once. And the polar bears ran towards the penguins, fully intending to rip their flippers off and beat them with the soggy eggs. Just as they got close enough to the penguins did the masterful bit of their master plan, and they just moved to one side. Voila. And the polar bears were going too fast on the slippery, slippery ice of the Arctic, and they fell straight into the sea, where they were surrounded by vicious killer whales with knives and forks and massive fucking teeth. And they didn't have time. They didn't have time.
Swim away, 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 swim away.
About trivial stuff, I don't care. Come on, excuse me, mate. You can sort us out. You've got a kind face, I can tell by your face. It's what it is, right?
I just need a pound or two to buy some parts. Some parts for me time machine, the one I'm building at home. Me time machine, I just need a pound or two to build some parts for me time machine. I just need a petting free processor. You know how it is, and some firewire to make me fucking time machine complete. Cause I need to travel back in time to get off the street. I'm gonna travel back in time, I am. And when I do, I'll get some money and I'll come back and that. I'm gonna travel back in time, I am. Come on mate, don't be funny, give us a pound. You look like a kind fella. If you do, I can tell by your face. Come on mate, don't be tired. I'm gonna go back in time, back to a time, back to a time before Mrs. Thatcher, back to a time before Mrs. Thatcher, back to a time before I was addicted to heroin. Visit my nana and borrow 20 quid off her while she was still alive. Then I'm gonna come back with 20 quid, and if you'll give us your address and tell me when you're going out, so I don't, there's no point in me coming round when you're out. Stupid, I might end up nicking your DVD player. I'll come round and bring you a pound. I'll come round and bring you a pound. I'll come round and bring you a pound. If you could sort us out, I'll come round and bring you a pound. I'll come round and bring you a pound. I'll give you £2 tomorrow if you give me a pound today. I will. Now I know what you're all thinking. You're thinking it's to put in me arm, to feed that little baby what lives in me arm that only eats that brown powdery milk. But no, it ain't that. It's for me time machine. You know, come on, don't be tired. Thanks for not kicking me. Thanks for not punching me. Thanks for not spitting on me. But it is right. I've just got out of a bail hostel for stabbing a nonce. It was about your size. It took both of us to do it. I had to hold him down. Do you get what I'm saying, mate? Do you get me? Do you get me? Come on, mate. Don't be tight. Give us a pound. It's a pound. Actually, £1.37 would be good. Because I need to get back to Doncaster. It's me wife. She's having a baby. She's having a baby in Doncaster. I just need £2.52. £2.52 is all I need from you, sir. You look like a kind fella. I see you've injured your hand. Do you know what? You know what they say? If you give to somebody, it comes back. And if you give to me, you won't get out back. When I've been back in time in my time machine, I'll go back and get you in the last of last for your hand. Come on, mate, don't be tight. You know it makes sense. You think I'm a smackhead, don't you? Well, you're fucking wrong there. I could give up any day, me. I'm not addicted, I should know by now. I do it every day. Can I have a chorus with everybody now? It's very easy. I'm into this audience, audience participation, that was it. I just want everybody to say, excuse me, mate, over and over again. Here we go. Excuse me, mate.
Excuse me, mate. Excuse me, mate. Excuse me, mate. Excuse me, mate. Excuse me, mate. Excuse me, mate. Excuse me, mate. Excuse me, mate. Excuse me, mate. Excuse me, mate. Excuse me, mate.
I'll come round and bring you a pound. I'll come round and bring you a pound. I'll come round and bring you a pound. If you want some of that.
Excuse me, mate. 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 Excuse me, mate.
Come back, mate, don't be tight.
Let's have something about something more cheerful now that's not really nasty and urban and shit. Let's have one about solvent abuse. All my life I've been sniffing solvent fumes and now I'm tripping Uru. I'm in love with blue. It's my favourite thing to do. If you wanna get out your head, first find a bread bag without any bread and fill it up with glue. That's what you need to do. Cheaper than drugs and it's better for you. Don't talk to me about MDMA. That's just for girls, it turns everybody gay. You all end up cuddling each other and thinking you're all each other's best mates. You all end up in a big bath surrounded by candles, listening to ambient Dubtronica in each other's massages. What a load of cunt, you want glue? Glue is the trunk for you. Don't talk to me about cocaine, oh for fuck's sake, here we go again. People on coke, they're so important and loud, they have to be vocal and chat above the crowd. Tell you how many fights they've won, how many birds they've shagged, how much fucking money they've got. Fuck off, glue, they're off glue. it's a more honest drug for you. Don't talk to me about amphetamines. When I took speed and I went for a piss and I pulled down my zip and I looked in my jeans. Glue, better off the glue. Unlike speed, it doesn't shrivel your cock. Don't talk to me about ketamine. Posh kids on Bristol having bladder issues in their early 20s because they spent too much time doing horse tranquilizers. What for? To upset their mums. They had everything they wanted. Silly bastards. Horses can't even score now. Horses have to go to elephants. Elephants are dealing to horses now, and they're not to be trusted. They've got that trunk thing going on, aren't they? Like, hey, mate, oh, what are you after? What are you after? Elephant can't have that. Glue. Better off the glue. You don't have to get it off elephants. Don't talk to me about salvia divinorum. It's a legal high. It looks a bit like weed. You smoke it in a pipe. These guys give me a pipe of it, and then I add it. And then after I had it, it all went like this. Minutes, glue. Better off the glue. You know what we've had with glue? Don't talk to me about LSD. Me and my mates, we all took LSD. We thought we were all fucking cool and that, and we knew what was going on, and we didn't really. We got confused. We tried to buy some plane tickets to Sydney, Australia with my mate Tony's MasterCard. We stood in a queue to buy the tickets. We stood in a queue for ages, tripping off his vest. He's going, oh, how tripping are you? I'm really tripping. Are you tripping? Yeah, I'm all fucking tripping. And he was in the queue, trying to be quiet, get to the front to buy the tickets, get the tickets to Sydney, Australia. But as a fucking mission, it was a total failure. Got to the front of the queue and the woman said, what do you want, son? And Tony said, free tickets to Sydney, Australia, please. And the woman said, I'm sorry, son. This is the Royal Bank of Scotland. Better off to do. Should have checked the sign outside the shop.
My psychiatrist said that because I sniffed petrol out of crisp bags in Earthwood Cemetery with my mate Dougie when I were 14, I'd end up mindlessly aggressive to some stranger I'd never seen. But he was wrong. Never get aggressive. I'm more chilled out than Gandhi. I never get aggressive to anybody. Put your fucking look at that! Your fucking silly gun! I kill your fucking hammer! I stab your fucking mum! I rip your fucking sister! I fuck your fucking dog! I put your dog in the microwave when it's gone pink! I bring it out! Shove it up your ass! Stab you! Burn your house! Stab you inside it! Fucking get all your family in there! Burn them as well! Bring them all out! Fuck them while they're still on fire! Fuck you! Bury you! Stab you while you're buried! Dig you back up! Fuck you again! Kill your fucking mother twice! Bastard!
Bloody Holy Swift, a lot of glue. Tell me why you grabbed the controls of the plane. I wanna go this way. So, we've been through various drugs, so it leads us pretty squarely onto mental illness, really. This is a sensitive song. Did I say sensitive? I meant mental. Same difference. The pigeons told me to shoplift. The voices were so persuasive. The pigeons, they controlled my mind. Shortly afterwards I did find myself in Dixon's, putting things in my cup and looking around and running away. And running away from a security guard. He was overweight, but he thought he was hard. And that's when he involved the police on me. And the magistrate, he didn't believe me about the pigeons who told me to shoplift. He said, son, think you're a mentalist. I'm sending you for psychiatric reports. I said, please don't send me for psychiatric reports. He said, I'm sending you for psychiatric reports. I said, please don't send me for psychiatric reports. He said, I'm sending you for psychiatric reports. I said, please don't send me for psychiatric reports. I'm sending you for psychiatric reports! You can't have been told to shoplift by pigeons! You're bullshitting us, you bastard! Get the fuck! Get to the fucking hospital! Do as you're told! I'm a fucking magistrate!
I was like, chill out, Robert! Fucking hell!
Ah, magistrates are tight these days. So they took me off in the green van with the square wheels to Midfield Mines. That's where I met the psychiatrist. He didn't believe me either. He said, son, there's no way on earth a pigeon can tell you what to do. I said, you don't understand, I'll show you. I can speak the pigeon's language, I said. And that was about the time that I looked deep in his eyes as I started to speak in the manner of the pigeons through my beak, I said. And that's how I hypnotized a psychiatrist. That's how I got him to give me the keys. Give me the keys to the drugs trolley. Give me the keys to his BMW, which is parked outside automatic transmission. Nice one. And he was a fat fucker like me. And while he was hypnotised, I took his clothes off him and I got his suit on. And I took his identity badge as well, which said Mr. Patel. And I left him there, gaffer tape round his ankles, gaffer tape round his wrists, hypnotised by my pigeon powers. And he looked so vulnerable in his Marks and Spencer boxer shorts. And I thought, should I? No, should I? He's a fucking psychiatrist, come on. And then I thought, no. Raping hypnotised psychiatrists is wrong. So I just took a picture of him on his own phone to put on YouTube later. And I fucked off out of the hospital, dressed as a psychiatrist. Got into his BMW, it had nice leather seats, I thought this'll fucking do. Drove away down Manningham Lane in the pouring rain, and I saw this busker with a guitar walking along in pissing rain. I thought, poor bastard, I'll give him a lift. Pulled up in BMW, I says to the busker, what's your name, mate? He says, Captain Otman. He says, that's a fucking weird name, what's your real name? He said, Chris. I said, get in, Chris. I'll give you a lift, mate, anywhere you want to go. He says, well, I'm just off into town, I've got a gig at 1 in 12, pub in that library bit upstairs. I says, have you? He says, get in, mate, you'll be safe as houses with me. I'm a psychiatrist. Trusting nobbed. So I drove along down Manningham Lane. Then I got back into town again. When I got near City Square, I saw so many fucking pigeons there. More fucking pigeons than I've ever seen. More fucking pigeons than there could have been. So many pigeons that it was obscene. And they all the pigeons were talking to me. They said, and I said to them, that is good advice. And for those of you who don't speak pidgin English, what the pigeon said was, kill the hitchhiker and take his guitar. Do his gig, you might get far. You might even get free vegan chili. You might even get some lemon drizzle cake. I thought, fucking hell! Never has there been such an opportunity in the history of being dressed as a psychiatrist. Never has there been such an opportunity to do a gig. So I says to busker guy, says, hey mate, is it pretty easy to play guitar? He said, yeah, it's not that hard. I says, oh, cool. And then I strangled him. He was easy to kill, he was a vegan. I snapped his neck with one hand. My other hand was a doner kebab. Should have really had my hands on the steering wheel, but it said automatic. I thought it must have been automatically. And I crashed into a big pile of rubble that used to be Foster Square. Every busker there. And I left the BMW and I took a busker's hoodie and I went to the gig. And that's how come I'm here, pretending to be Captain Hot Knives. And you knobheads all think I'm Captain Hot Knives or whatever he's called. But I'm not, I'm a guy who escaped from Linfield Man. And later on, when you've all forgotten about this bit of me set, I'm gonna follow one of you home and that you'll regret. So I'll get housing benefit claim on your spare room. And then I'll have words with your dad. And I'll end up being your dad's best mate. And I'll follow him down to fucking allotments. And then I'll grow myself some ganja plants. And then I'll smoke them. And then I'll get all your fucking CDs and scratch them. I just want one last chorus to get me out of this song, because I'm not too sure how I got into it. But I want every fucking person in here to do pigeon noise. And if you don't, believe me, I will follow you home. Believe, I ain't even fucking joking, this ain't even funny. You're all gonna do pigeon noises, or I'm gonna follow you home individually, track you down. And bearing in mind that recently my nana gave me 2 CDs with everybody's name and address on in England. Give me them for Christmas, she did. Used to work for DWB, she did, up in Newcastle. So can we have pigeon noises on the count of 17 from everyone in the place? And I will find out if anyone hasn't done it. Are you ready? On the count of 17. 1, 2, 3, 17. That when you tried getting out of a taxi, your feet stayed in the taxi. And the rest of you went out of the taxi, and you went like that, and you were like covered in a bit of snot, and the gravel was in the snot. Right, so we all know what we're dealing with here. It's a song about Buckfast.
One good thing about Buckfast, it gets you fucked fast. One good thing about Buckfast, it gets you fucked fast.
Brewed by monks,
drunk by punks.
It gets you fucked fast. One good thing about cider, makes you lose your lighter. One good thing about cider, makes you lose your lighter. It's made of apples and it's sentimental. Hey, hey, hey! One good thing about whiskey, makes your life a bit more risky. One good thing about whiskey, makes your life a bit more risky. And it's made in Scotland out of girders. No shit, no bed, that's iron root. One good thing about iron root,
it's got no girders. One good thing about iron root, it's got no girders.
It is made in Scotland out of girders. One good thing about Tennant Super, it comes in a nice blue can. One good thing about Tennant Super, it comes in a nice blue can. And it's always easy to find in the train station. One good thing about train stations, they're always full of cops. One good thing about train stations, nobbing security guards. And the security guards always think they're hard. One good thing about security guards. One good thing about security guards. One good thing about security guards, everybody, you can join in this bit if you want.
Nothing, 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 nothing.
One good thing about Buckfast,
it gets you fucked fast.
One good thing about Buckfast,
it gets you fucked fast.
made by monks,
drunk by punks.
It gets you fucked fast. That's Chaz and Dave bit time now. Not like rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. This is book fast, book fast. So every time I say book fast, you lot shout fuck fast really fast. Are we ready?
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast! Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast! Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast!
Book fast! Book fast! Book
People of London, can you cope with a bit more?
Go on, Nick. Go on.
If you're feeling it, I know there's people with dogs and stuff at home, and you know, I know personally my own children are at home wondering where I've gone, but you know, that was weeks ago now. They'd be alright, wouldn't they? Fuck it, they're pretty quick. They pick up on stuff, they'll be alright. Okay then. So this is a tune about when my girlfriend cheated on me and I came home and caught her in the fucking middle of it all. So it's a Christmassy one. I noticed that my bird had a new haircut, third new haircut in a week, and scratches down her back, and the scratches were red, and I could clearly see poking out from under the bed, these right long scissory fingers, and the scissory fingers were attached to the leathery covered arms attached to Johnny Depp, under my bed, in his Edward Scissorhands outfit. Johnny Depp with me bird. Johnny Depp with me bird. Johnny Depp with me bird. I think I'm gonna have to have a word with me bird. So I says to me bird, is this why you never text me back anymore? And is this why you've always got new haircuts and you just come up with reasons to avoid turning up to my gigs? And she said, well, I didn't want you to kick off and go mental and get sectioned again. I said, look, love, it's bad enough coming home to find you shagging somebody else. But Johnny fucking Depp, in his Edward Scissorhands outfit, that really chafes. That chafes me to bits. And I looked at Johnny Depp and I grabbed him by his ankles. I was gonna smash his fucking head in, or at the very least, I was gonna bury him up to his neck in sand and put an ice skate on my foot and kick his face off. But then I looked at his face and I thought, look at all them little cuts on his face. Oh, Johnny Depp's got tiny cuts all over his face. I thought, what am I getting so angry for? That poor guy, he's got cuts on his face. They're probably caused by them scissory hands, I thought. Them scissory hands, that's awful. Poor fella. I never looked at it like that, but scissory hands is massive disability. You could get a DLA for that, mate. You could, honestly. I'll help you fill the forms out, because you won't be able to hold a fucking pen, will you, you scissory bastard? And I thought, with them scissory hands, I thought, how does he wipe his ass? How does he wipe his ass? It must really, 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 really chafe when he tries to wipe his ass with scissors for hands. And then I thought, poor bastard, if I smash his face in, it'll be like kicking a spastic out of a wheelchair. I couldn't do that, no way, that'd be wrong. He's disabled, he's got cuts on his face. I thought, with them scissory hands, how does he roll a joint? How does he skin up? It must be pretty haphazard. It must be like this, all over the floor. I thought, with scissors for hands, how does he have a wank? How does he masturbate? How does he satisfy that basic human urge to spunk on the curtains? And I thought, his hands are made of scissors. Oh, poor lad. But then I thought, hang on a minute though, He doesn't need to have a wank, does he? It's me shagging my bird! Johnny Depp with me bird! Johnny Depp with me bird! Johnny Depp with me bird! I think I'm gonna have to have more words
with me bird. And so I lent Johnny Depp 20 quid because he was disabled. And Johnny Depp got a taxi from Barker End, which I thought was weird because I thought he lived in Los Angeles, you know. And I give him half my last little brim of hash because he said he had no smoke until Gyro Day. I thought, hang on, I thought you were in films. But anyway, I give him a bit of draw. I don't, do you know, I'm gullible, me. My mum always says too soft, and I said, what do you mean? And she punches me in the face. And then Johnny Depp fucked off in taxi, and it was just me and Dawn. And I said, Dawn, come on, you could have talked to me about this shit. Why have you been shagging Johnny Depp behind my back? That really hurts, man. I've been on tour with Cosmo, and it's been quite a difficult week. Cosmo said we were on the proper big tour and that, and I met him at King's Cross, and he gave me an Oyster card, and then he got into a limo full of fit birds, fucking cocaine, and fucked off. It's been like that all week. And I says, Dawn, what's Johnny Depp got that I haven't got? And it was a right long list of stuff that Johnny Depp's got that I haven't got. Like, for example, he's really good looking. He doesn't have a purple nose. He takes his coat off in the house. He never shits himself. Apparently he's got money and he's in films and he's really good looking. He's really kind and he gives her cuddles, even when she's had that PMT. I said, is that that type of acid that you smoke that only lasts for 10 minutes? And she said, no, Christopher, that's DMT. You dyslexic knobhead. And I thought, there's all these things Johnny Depp's better at, and he's got everything. And then she said he could stay awake after sex. Flash bastard. And then she said he could stay awake during sex. That really upset me, that did. And then I thought, there's got to be a silver lining to this, though, hasn't there? I thought, you know, there always is. I thought, well, there's got to be something. And then I thought, oh, yeah, just remembered something, actually. About something that came in the post the other day. It's just reminding me. There's something that Johnny Depp's got now they didn't have before he met my bird. There's something that Johnny Depp's got now that he didn't have before he met my bird. There's something that Johnny Depp's got now that he didn't have before he met my bird. Chlamydia! Johnny Depp with me bird! Johnny Depp with me bird! Johnny Depp with me bird, it didn't even help when I had a fucking word. Thank you.
I was down in the desert about 10 years AD. I went for a picnic with Joseph and Mary and a young JC. Nobody brought any Rizla papers and nobody brought a pipe. And after 14 fucking miles on a donkey, Mary wanted to smoke bad. Little Jesus, he pointed up to the sky and he said, hey mum, look, it's a message from Dad. There was a choir of angels singing in the sky, advising Jesus and Mary and Joseph on a new way to get high. They pointed down to the camping stove below. Joseph got the knives out of his captain's tool bag. Mary smashed the bottom off a milk bottle. Jesus chopped the resin into tiny pieces, and I looked on in amazement as the donkey produced a ghetto blaster, which started blasting out Grandmaster Flash at top volume in the fucking desert of Palestine. I was like, fucking brilliant! We're around the party, this is it! And above us in the Palestinian sky, some angels on a cloud were just about to sing, and then some Jewish angels turned up, tried to build a wall around the cloud. Like,
fuck off! I'm trying to sing, you know it!
And the Palestinian angels sang,
up knives are good for you. Hot knives are good for you. Hot knives are good for you. Hot knives are good for you.
So I sat around and did some hot knives with Jesus and Mary and Joseph and even the donkey. Had a little talk as well. And it was fucking brilliant. I thought, how can you get so mashed off such a small amount of fucking ganja? I was like, yes. I had a bit of like desert mouth, but I didn't give a fuck, it were ace. Jesus got well excited, he started doing miracles everywhere. He turned all the nearby water into special brew. Why do you think it's called the Dead Sea now? It's made a special brew. All the fish fucking floated up to top. Anyway, we were all going really good, but then Joseph started getting paranoid again. And says to Mary, hey Mary, how come me and you look fucking Palestinian and our Jesus looks like Robert Bastard Powell? Our Jesus looks fucking Norwegian. He's 6'2". He's got a fucking blonde hair and a beard, blue eyes and a fucking halo. What the fuck's going on there? And Mary just looked at him in that tired way that mothers do when they're getting accused of shagging somebody else. She just said to Joseph, she said, chill out, Nobed. All together now.
Chill out, Nobed.
We can do it better than that, she said.
Chill out, Nobed. Chill out, Nobed.
Mary said, look, does it really matter who the father is? We got a fucking flat in Galilee out of it. Fucking twat. What about that child benefit money? What do you think, where do you think that fucking, fucking gallon you came from with your smokes? And Jesus says to his dad, says, Joseph, do you know what? You're not my real dad. And I'm going to tell social services you've been looking up my fucking sort of dress thing. Anyway, there was a choir of angels singing in the sky. Down below them, we were fucking high. And one of the angels dropped me down a Twix. I said, how did you know I was hungry? And the angel said, I'm an angel, you dickhead. We're clever. I've got O-level geography and everything. O-level, you must be old. Called GCSEs now, says, I'm an angel, I'm really old. Don't look it. She says, I'm a fucking angel, get on with the song. And the angels sang.
Hot nights are good for you. Hot nights are good for you. Hot nights are good for you. Hot nights are good for you.
23 years later, Jesus and myself were living in a squat with Kyle. Just up Manchester Road. And we had these mates, they were brilliant, they were called the Apostles, they were a right good set of lads. They all had fucking really smart sandals and everything. And Jesus, he had a mate who worked in the Department of Work and Pensions and he scanned all the gyros for us. I was on £672,000 a day. Nice one, Jesus. And we didn't lack for anything. We had spaghetti hoops with cheese on every day. Every fucking night, Dick. Yeah. And it was going well round the fucking gaff and that, and we were all having a laugh and that, but there was this one fucking apostle, fucking dickhead he was, from fucking Battersea, fucking right arsehole, plastic pretend football hooligan he was. Reckoned he was hard, reckoned he was a Chelsea fan. I asked the other Chelsea fans, he said they never fucking heard of him. His name was Judas. What a tosser. He says to Jesus, all right, bruv. Jesus says, no, Judas, I don't. I'm the Son of God. I can create Twixes from the very furniture. I am fine. And anyway, we all have a maximum gyro. It is fine. And Judas says, all right, Bath, I'll just depart myself in. And he fucked off. And while he were gone, we were listening to Axis Boulder's Love by Jimi Hendrix. I thought, this is brilliant, man. How the fuck did he get that guitar sound? That's just awesome. And Jesus said, I taught him. I says, alright, yeah, fucking son of God, what fucking ever. Bet you invented wah-wah pedals as well, didn't you, you vegan bastard? I was like, yes, I did actually. I was like, alright, Jesus, use some of your stories, you know, I talk some more of you. Anyway, there was a knock at the door, I thought, who the fuck's that? And it was Judas. But do you know what?
Lost everyone's heart.
He came back, but he didn't come alone. He came back, but he didn't come on his own. He brought the drug squad with him. He charged us with possession with intent to enjoy. He brought the department of worker pensions with him. He charged us with doing miracles on the sidewalk, claiming incapacity benefits. It's really not a thing to do. So thanks very much, Judas, you grassy little shit. I says, where's the fucking money from Twixies? He goes, do you want to search my pockets, bruv? Anyway, I was going to smack him, but fucking police took us away. And we were sentenced to be crucified. And I don't even know what's happened to Judas. I've heard he's in the Apostle Protection Programme. The NDP. And that's all. Me and Jesus were nailed upon some wood and it were a right shocker. It were awful. I tell you, I had nails right through my fucking wrist. I was like, I had really itchy bollocks as well. I was like, can't reach. It's a fucking nightmare, but luckily Kyle never got caught and he came and gave him a bit of a scratch. Thanks, Kyle. I'm glad you're there. Anyway, me and Jesus, we were nailed up just about to die and that, and says, yeah, it's all right for you, Jesus. You'll be back in 3 days. I've seen that film. You fucking vegan Norwegian git. What about me? Jesus just looked at me in that way that he did, in his Norwegian vegan way, and he just said, chill out, Norbert.
Chill out, Norbert.
In a Jesus-like way.
Chill out, Norbert.
That's nice.
Chill out,
no pets. That was lovely. And there was a choir of angels flew down in front of me. And one of them was carrying a big, big fucking sheet of LSD. They had purple arms on, they were old school. And the angel popped a few into me gob and says, don't worry about dying, mate, that's the least of your fucking worries. Wait till you come up on these bastards. They were working pretty fast, what with the nails through my wrists and that, and the fucking adrenaline were pumping. And I started coming up on the acid, and in the distance I could hear a Toyota Corolla going down Manningham Lane. Going, and further in the distance, I see Judas has got a bit depressed and hung himself with his Chelsea scarf on. And the angels brought out the knives of righteousness and the blowtorch of holiness and the cannabis of forgiveness. And they administered the last few holy hot knives up my nose. And I breathed up the smoke and breathed it in, and I was absolved of all sin. And I came upon the acid and I thought, death, fuck it. As long as the music's good, I don't give a shit. And the angels sang in the most loud and angelic way possible, as if it sounded almost as if everyone joined in. Hopefully. For the last chorus, the angels sang,
hot nights are good for you. Hot nights are good for you. Hot nights are good for you. Hot nights are good for you.
Alright then.
It's getting hard and
scary. I must say, I've got 3 nanas because my mum had 2 marriages and 2 of my nanas are dead. And when I go to the afterlife, I'm going to get the fucking shit kicked out. And Johnny Cash is going to kick shit out of me. And Bob Marley, because I've missed his riff for this. Imagine getting shit kicked out of you by Johnny Cash, Bob Marley and your nana. That's going to hurt, innit? Your nana's going to be holding your ears like that. Johnny Cash is going to be kicking you in balls. Look it down.
Bob Marley give you ganja.
Oh, Bob Marley, yeah, I'll be alright, huh?
Yeah. they skanked me nana. But I did not skank me Auntie Lillian, she's one in a million. I could never dream of skanking me Auntie Lillian. I skanked me nana. But I did not skank me Auntie Lillian, she's a nice old lady. She used to drive a fire engine during the war. Me nana, she gave us 30 quid. She says, why don't you fuck off up to Thorpe Edge and get us a quarter of squidgy black, I kid. Get us a quarter of squidgy black and come straight back. I need it for my arthritis and that. So I said, nana, why do I always have to score for you? She said, because I fought 17 world wars for you. I said, hang on a minute, I did history at school, there was only two. She said, no, there won't dig it. There was another 15 fucking world wars in Eccles Hill that never got in the papers. I'm telling you. Fucking Japanese tried to invade Idle Working Men's Club. I had to beat them up. I had to beat them up until they were exhausted. I was like, alright, Nana, I don't.
Went down slightly.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't want to hear that, Nana. I'll just go get you weed, alright. So I fucked off up to Thorpe Edge to York House to this guy that I knew. I went in straight and I got a quarter. I didn't even fill a pipe. She said, it's for me nana, I've got to now. She says, well, just stay for a cup of tea. I was like, no, I've got to go. He says, mate, my neighbours are watching. He says, fuck me neighbours, I've got to go. It's me nana's ganja. And I came out of the flats with a quarter of squeegee black. But across the road there was a car parked up with blacked out windows. It looked like a Toyota Corolla. And one of the windows rolled down. And a voice came from inside and it was our Dean. And he said, alright Chris, have you got any draw on you mate? I was like, no. He says, yes you fucking have, dickhead. What have you been doing in the flats if you haven't been scoring? And I said, oh yeah, well I have scored a bit, but it's for me nana. He says, never fucking mind you nana. Get in the fucking car. We need a bastard smoke. We've been smoking rocks, we're all fucking uptight, we need to calm down a bit. So I got into the car. And then I noticed it was a pretty full Toyota Corolla. There was our Dean, our Rupert and our Johnny. There was our Ben, there was our Ifty and our Taz. There was our Schwepp, there was our Denise and our Valet. There was our Boopinder, there was our Denise and 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 her sister Sarah Denise and her sister Mary Denise. Not right imaginative in my family when it comes to girls' names. We all sat in the car. And I rolled a couple of spliffs to take the edge off living in Bradford. And because there were so many of us, I didn't go that far. So I rolled a couple more to take the edge off the being so many of us in the car. And then I filled a couple of pipes to take the edge off being in Eccles Hill at all. And then I filled another couple of pipes to take the edge off having glasses and looking like a white version of Howard from the Halifax advert. I've got so much applause. That was a bit hurtful. I got myself though, didn't I? And then we filled another couple of pipes while we were sat in the car. And our Dean was listening to Khalees and Khalees was singing. She sang, ah, milkshake brings all the boys to the end. Damn right, it's better than yours. I can teach you, but I'd have to charge. And I thought, I do love Khalees. I do love her, but I wish she'd stop fucking ringing me up. She can't fucking accept that it's all over between me and her. I've moved on. Me and Missy Elliott are together now. I love a girl in a puffer jacket, mate. Who's not afraid to wear men's boots, you know what I'm saying? Anyway. So, after smoking loads of me nana's ganja, I says to our Dean, can you give us a lift back to Ravenscliff to take me nana a spliff? And he said, no fucking way, dickhead. I don't think you noticed when you got in the car, but it's up on fucking bricks. We got the worst. Shit. So I had to walk all the way back to Ravenscliff. And it was fucking raining as I were walking past Eccles Hill swimming baths. And I thought, fuck this, I'm going to have to roll myself a spliff to set the edge off the fear of what my nana's going to do to me. She realises I've smoked all the ganja. And I had to fill up another couple of pipes, but that just gave me the fear. Bullshit, I wish I had some fucking diazepam on me. My mate's just come back from Thailand, I'll ring her up and see if she's got any 10 milligram ones and blue ones. But she was out and it was like, shit, I've really got the fear now. And I got back to my nana's, and my nana says, where the fucking hell have you been? But me and her were acting really strange that day. She had a black and white war film on the telly and The Prodigy on at fucking 50,000 gigawatts. I'm like, what's she doing? I says, Nana, you didn't find a big bag of tablets in my bedroom. With like pigeons on the front of her. And she says, never mind that, dickhead, you're fucking stoned. You've been smoking my weed. I says, how do you know I'm stoned? She says, well, your eyes are bright red and you went straight for the biscuits. You've had 15 Rocky Robins, you know, you've got your house. Fuck's sake, you bastard. No wonder you look like Howard out of the fucking Halifax. And then she says, where's that fucking ganja? I says, well, Nana, well, it was right, I missed my bus. She says, there is no fucking bus between Orpedge and Ravensplay. And to be honest, there's someone waiting in the front room who wants to have a word with you. And I went in the front room and my uncle Raymond was sat there with a baseball bat. And he said, I drove round fucking Thorpe Edge earlier and I saw you in a fucking car that was up on bricks smoking ganja. You're me and your Ifty and your Taz and your fucking Dean and your Rupert and your Johnny and your Denise and your Denise and your Denise and your Denise. And I said, oh, alright, chill out. I mean, my nana gets disability living allowance, so she can afford these digital scales and they're accurate to a millionth of a gram. She made me put the ganja on the scales to humiliate me further. And it should have weighed about 7 grams. But did it fuck? It weighed 1.33333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333 and he made me put my hands on the kitchen table flat. And he batted the back of each hand with a baseball bat, and he mashed up my knuckles, and he says, "That'll stop you playing the guitar and thieving off your family, little fucker." And I thought, ooh, that really hurts. And I had to walk all the way up to fucking Bradford Royal Infirmary with mashed up knuckles. And when I got there, I got stuck in a queue behind a kid with a pan on his head for 14 hours. And I was starting to get MRSA in me mashed up knuckles. And when I got to the front of the queue, it turned out that the kid with the pan on his head, the pan weren't even stuck. It was just a three-stripe Adidas pan. It was a fucking fashion pan. And the nurse said, "How did you get your knuckles broken?" And I said, I walked into a door. She said, "No, you fucking didn't. You've been skanking your nana." I says, "How do you know that?" She said, "It was on Look North. Trista Ackroyd said it were you who'd done it." Last bit now, the moral of the whole set. Don't skank your nana. After all, it was your nana that bought you some Action Man bull bath, even though you were 27. Thanks, nana. Cheers, love. That's it. Okay, peoples, we're back up and running now. The guitar's working, the microphone's working. Fucking hell, it's exciting when it all works. So this is a science-based Bradford folk song, based on science, which is our main industry. If you get a piece of toast and it falls to the ground, it will always land butter side down. But if you get a domestic cat and it falls to the street, it will always land upon its feet. Which makes me wonder what would happen if a gaffer taped a bit of butter toast onto the back of a cat and threw it out of a tower block. How would it know how to land? How would it know how to land? The cat would try to land upon its feet, and yet the buttery toast upon its back would desperately try to land upon its buttery side.
try to land upon its feet, and yet the buttery toast would be compelled by the laws of physics to land upon its buttery side. So maybe it would spin forever, spinning approximately 18 inches above the ground. That's where it would be found. Cats with toast on their backs, anti-gravity cats. Cats with toast on their backs, anti-gravity cats. Cats with toast, gaffer tape to their backs, turning them into anti-gravity cats. Cats with toast on their backs, anti-gravity cats. It wouldn't work with Labradors, fat bastards. It wouldn't work with Labradors, fat bastards. They'd eat each other's toast, they'd eat each other's toast, fat fucking bastards. You can't leave any food any fucking near them. But you could use the scabbiest cats in the world, not the nice fluffy pet ones with nice collars. You could use the shit ones that you didn't cost no dollars. The ones you find in flats have been eating the faces of dead old ladies. The scabby cats, scabby cats, scabby cats, scabby cats, scabby cats. You use the scabby cats, scabby cats, scabby cats, scabby cats. You wouldn't even need to use expensive bread. You could use the cheapest happy shop of bread. They're not gonna eat it, it's just gonna get gaffer tape behind the back of their head. And you could use the cheapest butter in the world, the cheapest you could find, but it wouldn't work with margarine. You know that, yeah? Butter toast falls butter side down, but margarine, that don't work. And you know why margarine don't work? It's only two molecules away from plastic, that's why. It's that yellow pen. You shouldn't be putting that shit on your fucking bread, man. I'll tell you why, because margarine is the devil's spunk. Sing along now, margarine is the devil's spunk. Sing along now, margarine is the devil's spunk. Everybody in the place now. Margarine is the devil's spunk. Go on, I dare you one more time. Margarine is the devil's spunk. You don't want the devil's jizz on your toast. That's the thing you want, not the most. With his little horny hands all over your toast, you don't want that shit. You wanna just use butter. And then you can just use the scabby cats, throw them out of blocks of flats with toast on their backs. As they fall down to the ground and they start to spin round and round and fucking round, use them as a turbine. You could use them as a turbine. You could power up half the iPhones in Swindon off a tortoise shell cat with toast on his back. Every scabby cat that no one loves, and you threw it out of a window with toast on its back, you could soon replace fossil fuels and nuclear power. I estimate we could do it in an hour. All we need is some buttered fucking toast, some gaffer tape and cats, and then throw them out of the windows. Wait till they drop. Attach electrodes as they spin. Begin to harvest energy from the cat turbines. I don't know how to get out of this song now. It started out with such a good idea. And it's, yeah, yeah, meow, meow. I had 2 grams of meow, meow the other night. Fucking shit. But on Thursday, I had 2 grams of woof, woof. Much better. Oh, I'm telling you, I chewed through a number of toys. Oh, shit, that was it in that one. I'm going to do this song you can do on one string. This is a
best kind for me. I'm in an anarchist squat punk band. I'm in an anarchist squat punk band. I'm in an anarchist squat punk band. Drive around in an Akadol van. I'm in an anarchist squat punk band. I'm in an anarchist squat punk band. I'm in an anarchist squat punk band. Drive around in an Akadol van. We always have a scabby in our soul. Drum has a rest, if you don't let him get depressed, it's when he changes his vest. We always have a scabby in our songs. I'm an anarchist squat punk band, I'm an anarchist squat punk band, I'm an anarchist squat punk band, drive around in an Akadol van. Our carbon footprint is bigger than NASA, but we are always wishing our van could go faster. We went to liberate the beagles from the laboratory. We went to liberate the beagles from the laboratory. Set the beagles free, set the beagles free, set the beagles free, set the beagles free from the laboratory. Set the beagles free, set the beagles free, set the beagles free from the laboratory. We took them home in the back of our van. 56 beagles to a squat in Nottingham. When we got there, there was something we had not realised. All the beagles were addicted to nicotine. They've been used by the tobacco industry, you see. The beagles needed regals.
The beagles needed regals.
The beagles needed regals, and we just didn't know. All we had at home was herbal rolling tobacco. The beagles were not happy and they bit us on our knees, bit us on our elbows, and they gave us a disease from inside laboratories. A disease from inside laboratories. I'm an anarchist squat punk band. I'll never release any beagles again. Shark sheepdog. He went into pubs and he pretended to be shit at pool, and then he played the locals. He got them into thinking he was shit, and because he was a dog, they easily believed he was crap, because he didn't have any thumbs, so he wasn't very good at holding the cue, or at least that's what he made them think. Probably amazing. Bob the genius sheepdog, he was amazing. He was a bull shark sheepdog. He could do things. He could do predictive text. He could do things other sheepdogs cannot do. And on Wednesday, he was playing the farmers in the pub in Skipton. He let them win a few frames. He let them win a lot of games. He made them think that he was shy. Then he suggested putting 20 quid on the last frame. And the farmers laughed to see such fun. A foolish border collie, so easily to be parted from his 20 quid. And Bob let them put the money down on the side of the table. He let him pop a couple of yellows. But then Bob, he took control of the game, he eyeballed them. And then he potted the black, he took the 40 quid, and he fucked up out the back. Probably amazing. The amazing sheepdog, he was amazing. He was a genius sheepdog. When he got home, he went a bit mental. He went a bit chicken oriental, radio rental. He got his 40 quid and invested it in crack. As a dog, he smoked it out the back. It made him laugh to see such fun.
And then the farmer came home the next day, and he found a note on the kitchen table, in very scratchy looking poor writing. It looked like the writing of a border collie. And the note was from Bob, and it said, "Dear farmer, I'm too amazing for you, too amazing. You've taught me too much stuff. It's like Lawnmower Man explained, Bob. You've taught me too much stuff, and now I'm too clever for you, and I've left you behind. And by the end of the note, you will find that I took the Range Rover. I took it over. I took your bank card. I know your passwords to everything, even your Netflix. Even your Netflix account. And now I'm shagging your wife, and now I'm shagging her leg. Your wife's leg is covered in sheepdog smeg." And the farmer was upset. He was filled with regret as he saw the note from Bob. He thought, how disloyal. A man's best friend has proved to be extremely disloyal. He's driven off with my wife. He had thought spending his life. He really got depressed. He ended up watching daytime TV every day. The farmer watched. He watched daytime telly until he ended up in a phone box opposite the mosque, smoking rocks. And then who came past but Bob, in a Range Rover, with the farmer's wife looking so happy and glamorous. It was one too many things for the farmer. He sank down to the floor, but as he passed away, there was something he heard in his mind, a catchy refrain, something evil that seeped into his brain. Bob the Amazing, Bob the Amazing Sheepdog, Bob the Amazing. He was an amazing sheepdog. He could do things other people could not do. He could do things. He was good with a pool cue. Bob the Amazing, Bob the Amazing Sheepdog, Bob the Amazing, Bob the Amazing Sheepdog, Bob the Amazing, Bob the Amazing Sheepdog, Bob the Amazing, Bob the Amazing Sheepdog. Babies, did someone say babies? What an evil audience. All right, I'm gonna do babies, but since the last one of the night, we want proper sing backs, and I want as vicious as you can fucking possibly be. So when I sing a line to you for a sing back, sing it back, and if any of you don't, I'll find out where you live. And I'll get an housing benefit claim on your spare room, and I'll eat all your cashew nuts, and I'll say it with somebody else. I'm prepared to go that far if you don't sing along. I know it sounds evil, but it is evil, because, you know, I am evil. That's one of the curses of being evil. It's the embarrassing bit when you realise you are evil. Here we go, then. Smash his fucking face in. You won't invite him round again. You wouldn't even let him in. Won't give him any more cabin. But babies get away with it because they're cute. They're just thieving bastards in a romper suit. They've stolen all my friends, no one goes out anymore. Everyone's sitting round on the front room floor going, "Oh, we've got a baby. Now, my friends, they used to say to me, Chris, fill a pipe, and now they say, shh, we've got a baby." I'm like, what? Fucking knobheads. Babies are worse than fucking smackheads. Babies are worse than fucking smackheads. At least a smackhead will have the common courtesy to carry a lighter. Babies can't skin up or chop a line out.
pretty soon you're gonna find out. Shitting nappies is what you will be drowned in. Shitting nappies is what they will be found in. I hate babies. I fucking hate babies. I hate babies. I fucking hate babies. So you find the love of your life, a beautiful woman so divine, so gorgeous, you want to spend with her all of your time. You want to make love to her every day, but then you get you pregnant, and next thing you know, forget it, mate. There's a baby there now. You fucking idiot. You fell for that bullshit of the fit bird. And now she's shouting at you and telling you off. Telling you go to the shops to get some stuff. Oh, baby, for fuck's sake. It's easy enough not to have a baby, lads. Just pull your cock out. Just pull your cock out. Just pull your cock out when it's time to come. Just pull it out and then there'll never be no baby disasters. Or the fucking child support agency. What a nightmare, what a nightmare. And you know what, there's a different set of rules. Not just for the rich, but for babies. Cause babies can make as much noise as they want late at night, but not me. People bang on me wall, they bang on me floor, they bang on me door, they say, shut up you fat alcoholic manic depressive knobhead. Which is quite hurtful. And then I shout back, fuck off, mum! But babies can do anything, they can scream all night. They can go into Tesco's and piss themselves and shit themselves and start to cry. Last time I did that, I got sectioned again. Does anyone in London hate babies as much as I do? Yeah, are you up for a last evil sing back before we get rid of it, yeah? One last get it off your chest moment of vicious hatred for innocent babies of any race or creed or nationality. Anyone under 18 months, let's make them know they're not welcome around here. I hate babies. I fucking hate babies.